Pat, say something funny.
When?
We're back. They haven't taken us off the air. They haven't cancelled our permission to upload podcasts to the Apple Network and any others. This is a Long Snapper podcast. Adam here. I haven't watched any NFL other than the Titans game, and I don't know why I watched that. That's literally it. Luckily, I have people with me who have. I have people with me who have been to a game.
The same game, unfortunately.
The same game. Pat and Rich. I meant to say Pat and Mark, but Rich is here as well. This is confusing.
Hi to all our new, hi to all those new listeners that we've gained in the last week due to London games. This is what this is normally what it's like.
Honestly, well, funny you should say that. Last Thursday night, I'm gonna say, whatever night it was. I've been having some travel tavern time in this last week, away from home. Holiday in Acton. I saw a couple of Bills fans in the bar.
Lad.
Just walked past them, gave them a quick beat the Jags for us, will you? And ended up chatting to them for about an hour and a half, just about everything. And they were fantastic. They were fortunate enough to see Crystal Palace play Forest on the Saturday and see no goals whatsoever. And then on the Sunday, they got to watch their team lose to the Jags at Tottenham.
That's not, we don't have to raise that within the first few minutes of the show.
Well, this is where we are. But
Let's raise that so that can be later.
the best part was they said they would give the show a listen. So I'm really sorry if you tuned into last week and had a load of AOB at the start that would have been absolute drivel. Mark moaning about VAR, probably. I can't remember. That
That was
seems
what that that's
something
what
like that.
happened. That's yeah, that usually comes up most weeks.
So if they got more than 10 minutes in, equally, I'm sorry.
I'm
But
not sorry, I wasn't on.
I can't remember that far back in truth.
I
Last week's a long time ago.
think Craig was here, wasn't he?
Oh,
I
that
remember
hurts.
Craig,
He's the one who does one show every 3 months.
Those rare weeks when Ofsted
I saw he put on Twitter, I think today, Ofsted done. I was like, hold on, wasn't that like 2 weeks ago?
Let's assume from now on he has weekly Ofsted visits, and unless the Long Snapper podcast call him up. And then like unexpectedly, and he has to let Ofsted down that week. Let's just assume that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, I reckon
Um, yeah. So for any new listeners, this is just what you're going to get. Yeah, as I say, I've hardly watched anything. So yeah, you're going to have to pull more weight than usual, I'm afraid.
That doesn't bode well.
But hopefully, if those lovely people from Canada. Canadian Bills fans. Hopefully, if those lovely people are listening for the first time, let's give them something more normal. And by more normal, I'm going to mean a quiz.
Yeah.
Pat, bring us a quiz. Let's
I
have some
shall.
fun.
If you let me share my screen for the quiz that you asked for.
Oh, this again. And I'm going to have.
It should be even less of a surprise this week. I tell you what, while you're doing that, I'll actually bother to explain what we're doing this week. Because last time I listened back, I was like, I really did just say, yeah, this is Celebrity Squares, and then go straight into it.
Yeah, I did. I've seen Celebrity Squares, but I don't really remember how it all worked.
Is it just Blockbusters but with pictures of players?
It's noughts and crosses, but with pictures of players.
Oh, is it noughts and
So
crosses? I did not get
there, we have a board.
that.
We have a board with nine pictures of former NFL players. For each player, we have.
Is that Kerry Collins in a Colts jersey? Like, are you just trying to?
I can neither confirm nor deny how
As
much
if
I'm trying to
as
wind
if
you up
I.
with these choices.
I feel like being trolled even more than I was last time. I
Indeed.
can't complain.
This is just the quiz that makes Adam angry irrationally immediately upon seeing this board.
Yeah,
I
totally.
think it's the fact that you're being asked to let Pat share his screen. That's just the
No,
thing that sets you off, and
that's
then you're furious for the
he
next 10
does
minutes.
he doesn't like it. Doesn't like
That's
the
just
loss of control.
that's just on me because I could never remember how to do it. But I found it relatively quickly that time.
We should try and remember to share this board on the Twitter feed so that people can actually have a look and see what we're talking about.
We won't remember.
Other than that last time as well.
But it doesn't matter. It's answering questions, really. I mean, the fact that you've got to all this effort and coming up with this board, it's nice for us to have it. So
it's lovely.
So we have a board. We have 9 pictures of players. For each player, we have a regular season career game statistic for which you will be guessing to win that square and to get 3 in a row to win the board and the game, because we ain't going to be doing 2 boards after this long of an introduction. Adam requested the game. We decided Adam would play solo versus Rich and Mark. So let's start off in the centre square like we did last time. Obviously, that's Peyton Manning. We have got Peyton Manning career rushing yards in his 266 regular season games. Adam, give us a number for Peyton Manning's career regular season rushing yards.
Before I do that, I'm just going to remark as to whether it's a hindrance to be alone rather than have Rich with me or not. I'm genuinely not sure.
Not being mean, Rich has been through a lot this week.
Happy birthday, mate.
Yes, I'm getting older. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Peyton Manning rushing yards, they could be negative. Like, he's basically, every time you kneel down at the end of the game, that's -1.
Unless you're Brady.
I'm convinced that run where, I think it was for Denver, where he faked out the entire team and then just ran into the end zone 7 yards. That's the only run of his career.
Yeah.
Convinced of it.
Yeah. I remember watching that. That whole play took about 10 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah. Just because he was like jogging the 7 yards.
And the only person in the entire stadium that knew he had the ball, including all of the camera operators, the only person that knew he had the ball was Jim Nantz. It's one of those fantastic moments of broadcasting. And he's just telling them, yeah, Manning's got it. The camera crew just didn't believe it. Anyway, 256 games, was that?
266
games, and I need total rushing yards.
Yes, please.
I am going to go with 266.
Oh, I like the strategy. Mark and Rich, higher or lower than 1 yard per season?
It's not a bad
game.
It's not a bad idea.
It's got to be more than that.
You think? I think it could be lower.
Have you added up all those kneels?
The question is, did someone else kneel for him?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Did someone else come? But even then, he must have had the odd run early in his career where he, they forgot to cover something and he...
Sure, 5-6 yard scamper for a first down.
Something like that. There must... it's got to be more than a yard a game.
And when I say scamper, that's obviously an exaggeration. You seem very convinced. I'm going to go with you on this.
Must be more. In my head, when the question came up, I was thinking like 400 to 500 yards.
So okay. I think I absolutely would have gone exactly with Adam's strategy of saying 1 yard per game, which is why I'm now...
So you average out as higher, and higher is correct. It was 667.
Oh, I kind of said it partly for comedic effect, but I sort of regretted it. It was definitely going to be higher. Imagine if it was, though.
The centre square goes to Mark and Rich, and they get to pick the next square. Where are you heading next? Oh.
Montana or Jerry Fitz? Larry Fitz, even?
Jerry Fitz.
Jerry Rice, Larry Fitz.
One size fits all.
If we're playing noughts and crosses... Do we actually want to play it properly and go for one of the corners?
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
All right, Kerry Collins.
Gone Kerry Collins for maximum Adam irritation.
Yes.
I'm willing to bet that he doesn't have as many career rushing yards as Peyton Manning, I would describe him as an even worse runner.
Kerry Collins, I've gone for career yards per attempt over his 198 regular season games.
Yards per attempt.
Correct.
198. What career?
Not yards per completion. That's got to be a single digit number, right?
I would think so.
Mid single digits?
The silence, ladies and gentlemen, would normally be interspersed with horse noises. But Mark has moved on from that.
No, he hasn't. It's just this one's even tougher than normal. And he also doesn't have anyone interrupting him.
I mean, yeah, you're probably probably around about there, six.
Yeah, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, six.
Adam, higher or lower than six?
Higher than six. Come on, this is Kerry Collins, man. Give him the respect he deserves.
Six. 6.54. Adam takes the square.
That's not good.
Damn it.
Bye. Adam, pick the next person or square.
All right, I can't really see who that is at the top left. But he's got a nice Hall of Fame jacket on, so let's go with him.
Top left is Isaac Bruce, and I want his career receiving yards in 223 regular season games.
Oh, okay. That's... I mean, it feels a bit like a maths question, because I'm gonna say to myself, well, maybe like 75 yards a game or so. That's probably, yeah, like say 75.
Then trying to do 75 times 223.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't Countdown. Although a Countdown themed Log Zapper quiz might be one for the future. I'm gonna regret saying that. Oh, 200. I mean, I can't do the maths. 220 times 7. I don't know.
What's your job again?
Yeah, quite. I don't know. Fifth. 6,000? Six. Hang on. I can't compute anything. I just can't. I don't. I've gone to pieces. This is just meaningless. 7,500.
7,500 yards in 223 games.
Hang on. No. Wait. 15,000.
15,000 yards in 223 games.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah. I can't get my brain working.
All right. Mark and Rich, higher or lower than 15,000?
It's annoyingly much more reasonable than yards. It's annoyingly much more reasonable than 7,500, which would have been easy to work off.
So he is like...
He's a Hall of Famer wide receiver.
And he's in the top 5 or 10 total yards in NFL history.
Right.
So I think it's got to be more...
Yeah, I mean, I was working on the 220 odd games is what? How many seasons? It's about 15 seasons. You've got to be north of 1,000 yards a season average to be up there, right?
Yeah. And he was the top receiver in what at the time was the top offense.
That's how I should have thought of it. That would have been a lot easier.
I think 15,000 is not far off what it's likely to be, but I think it is probably north of there.
Yeah, I think it's probably higher for me. Maybe not by much, but I do think it's higher.
You're agreed on higher. Interesting. You're correct. 15,208.
Wow. I'd like to say I was unlucky, but I wasn't. I was floundering in the dark, embarrassing myself. So.
You were that kid that just wrote down an answer with no workings, with no idea, and got almost spot on. And the teacher's like, how'd you get to this? And you're like,
Intuition. So, you're going to win the board with square 18, I assume.
Paul Poslowski.
We're going to try.
The topical man of the day, Paul Poslowski. Paul Poslowski.
Just call him Paul.
That was sounded like Drunk Pat trying to say his name.
Paulie P.
Big Paulie.
Regular season career solo tackles in 145 games.
Oh. So, 145 games is about what? Eight-ish seasons. And this man was nearing 100 tackles a season.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the region of 700 to 800 tackles. Maybe a little higher if we want to be generous to them. Are we doing the stupid thing of counting half tackles? You said solo tackles, right? You said solo tackles in the question, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm convinced that he had some seasons where tackles were up 150.
Right.
So
but if it's solo tackles, because you know what the NFL's like with those shared half tackle nonsense bullshit.
But what I don't want to go too low and then one higher.
Yeah.
And because we're giving him a massive stress, so I'd rather stick it up a little bit to make him think. Oh,
so I can go one lower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at least you can go either way.
850, 900.
I reckon let's chuck in 1,000.
Oh.
Let's make him think a little bit. I'm saying 1,000.
All right. I mean, that's a bullish answer, but let's go with it.
Oh, Mark's nothing if not bullish. I've realised the hardest part of this quiz is keeping a poker face while you're chatting. They've gone for 1,000, Adam. Do you think higher or lower for Paul Posglesley regular season career solo tackles in 145 games?
Lower. Final answer.
Correct. 882.
Ah! Oh. Sorry, Rich.
That's all right.
Oh, well, look, it's all
wonder where you're going.
Coming up, Milhouse. I mean, look at Joe there in his sexy gold helmet. I have to go for Mr. Montana.
And this is topical because I think it's one that you're going to hate even more than the average question on this board. Joe Montana's career regular season passer rating over 192 regular season games.
Passer rating isn't a real thing.
That's why I picked it.
I definitely knew you were going to say that exact sentence.
Mark, for us, this is now win-win because if Adam wins on the basis of that question, he's still going to be
furious. I don't know what an average... I don't... 90, I don't care. Whatever. 90, there you go. Final answer. Do what you like.
Adam's gone 90 in a fit of rage. Do you want to go higher or lower than 90, Mark? And Rich.
So passer rating is the one that stupidly goes to like 135.9 or some ridiculous thing, isn't it?
158.3, I believe. Why so, I know yes. that and I don't know what a good one is, I do not know.
Why
is it capped at 158.3? Surely you could throw another touchdown. It's bullshit. All of it.
Or just do a 0 to 100 scale, like normal people would.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Anything would make more sense.
I think Adam is annoyingly, despite completely randomly guessing, probably quite close to the answer there.
I believe it wasn't completely random. I have heard of the metric.
Have you heard of this Montana kid? Yeah. Rumour is that he was decent.
The thing is, his passer rating was pretty shit for his first season or two. It was only in late years where it's, you know, obviously he has those
when he went to the Chiefs and started to get a bit.
Hey, careful you.
I think. I mean, it's Joe Montana, man.
It's got to be higher.
It's got to be higher.
Okay.
It's got to be. I think like an average passer rating for a really average quarterback is somewhere 80 to 90.
Yeah, but that's in the modern league, isn't it? It's, you know, it's a passing league now and all that bullshit.
But previously,
No, I think you're right. I think it's higher.
Higher.
I don't think it's a lot higher, but I think it's higher.
It is higher. It is 92.3.
God.
So, I'm
curious if I got that wrong while I'm wearing this jersey.
I've got nothing to show for it, but I've plucked out some quite accurate answers there.
Very close.
Mm-hmm.
Well
so
done.
That moves us to Larry Fitzgerald's career catch percentage over his 263 regular season games.
97, 98, somewhere really high. The man barely drops a catch.
If it makes a difference, I've got it to one decimal place.
Of course you have.
No one's catch percentage is that high.
Okay, where would you think it is?
I mean,
no, seriously, the man barely dropped a pass in his career.
I've never, over an average, I've never seen anybody higher than like 60 odd.
Catch percentage. So
the number of times he caught a ball divided by the number of times he was targeted times by 100.
I'm thinking about his drop rate, not his catch rate. So it's like catching catchable balls, not shit that was overthrown or... Sorry, you're right. But it's still high.
There's no receivers that are much higher than 65, 70. None.
I would say 70. 70, maybe 75.
But I think you're making it easy for Adam to go lower.
Where are you thinking?
I mean, for 65.
Let's split the difference. Split the difference. 67 and a half.
Use Pat's one decimal place offer to cash in there.
67.5.
I think it's going to be less.
67.5 is the eventual guess. I'm enjoying this game evolving from Mark says a number and Rich agrees. This is a positive development. Adam, do you think it's higher or lower than 67.5?
I don't think me out of the tackles thing.
I don't think Rich does agree. And I'm with Rich. Not about the exact figure, but he just never dropped anything. He was famous for that. So I've got to go. Did he have some woeful quarterbacks throwing to him at times? Yes, but I've got to go higher. Because
you're going higher?
Yeah, I'm going higher.
It's 61.3. Ooh. So Mark wins the quiz.
Ooh.
Well, Larry, done, Mark.
It's been let down by like Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer and all the other idiots he had thrown to him.
It's been like, for some reason, even the best receivers in the world don't have their... It's the percentage is like lower than you would assume.
Matt Leinart would have been thrown to him. Exactly. What was I thinking? I mean,
yeah, Jesus.
Matt Leinart. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well done. Let's say.
Good quiz, Pat. Cheers, Pat. I'm enjoying this one still.
Thanks.
I'm disappointed we didn't get onto OJ Simpson, though.
What I'm hoping is that Pat reconstitutes all the unanswered questions from the first three boards onto a fourth board when we get that far.
Nice. Oh, we've got 10 unanswered questions, so I can get a fourth board out of the two.
Yeah.
Good shout.
Oh, we get to play this again. Yay.
Maybe it'll be a week when you're not here. Oh, no, wait, that never happens.
That would have been handy last week, actually. And I was very close to it. I've just been ludicrously busy with stuff. Hence, this is where we're at. I have watched one game. And I didn't like it.
And you probably already talked most of what you want to talk about on another podcast for that.
Yeah, although not that much. We're kind of looking forward to our own London game. But tell me about yours, Pat and Mark. But in fact, before we count, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's let's review some games. And because I haven't seen any, I'm not going to do any of it. So strap yourselves in for some one sentence reviews, starting with Chicago 40, Washington 20.
The Bears find a way to win, finally, with a huge performance from Fields and DJ Moore, only hours after the death of Bears legend Dick Butkus was announced.
Jacksonville 25, Buffalo 20.
This one had more flags than the United Nations and more turnovers than a Danish bakery.
Houston 19, Atlanta 21.
A perfect two-minute drill from Ridder and London to win the game gave the Falcons fans a reason to be optimistic for the future. Now they just need to do it against someone good.
Carolina 24, Detroit 42.
Even without their best receiver, the Lions had more than enough to beat the hapless Panthers, who've now scored at least 27 points in the first half alone for consecutive games for the first time in Detroit Lions history.
Ooh. Tennessee 16, Indianapolis 23.
Indy just can't be trusted with talented quarterbacks, can they?
New York Giants 16, Miami 31.
Exactly the type of shellacking we all expected, only with about half the margin of victory.
New Orleans 34, New England 0.
The second worst shutout loss in franchise history. Those Pats might just be the worst team in football. Billy B continues to harm his legacy, and the axe looms large.
You didn't enjoy that one.
Couldn't
bit,
be happier.
Oh, those Bills fans in the bar would have loved it too. Baltimore 10, Pittsburgh 17.
Misshapes, mistakes, misfits. The Ravens should have won this easily, but just kept shooting themselves in the feet at crucial moments.
Can you shoot yourself in the feet?
Yeah.
Cincinnati 34, Arizona 20.
Looks like the Bengals are back from the dead. Watch out, everyone.
Yeah. Philadelphia 23, LA Rams 14.
I really, really, really hope there's a defensive coordinator out there somewhere that can find a way to stop that fucking annoying tush push.
New York Jets 31, Denver 21.
There were 8 fumbles in this game and Denver recovered just one of them. The last one cost them the final shot of an unlikely victory.
Kansas City 27, Minnesota 20.
What a tremendously underwhelming experience.
Dallas 10, San Francisco 42.
San Fran faced the best defence in football and absolutely humiliated them. Brock Purdy has still not lost a game when he doesn't tear a ligament.
Sorry. Green Bay 13, Las Vegas 17.
Jimmy G versus the Packers. Ah, just like old times.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there you go. One sentence reviews. I mean, on the off chance that I didn't get everything I possibly need to know from those sentences.
That's not possible.
It's time for our new regular feature of the show. Given how little football I watched, this feature is called Fill Adam In. So if you wouldn't mind bringing me up to speed with everything that happened, because I haven't listened to any other podcasts and I sure as hell haven't watched any other football other than one dreadful, dreadful, dreadful game. Pat, you won. Congratulations.
Yes, we did.
Tell me about London. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. It was about 15 points better for the Jaguars than I expected. And a lot more of a win than I expected. But the atmosphere was the most home type atmosphere I've experienced at a London game so far. The Bills fans really showed out for most of the game. And it made a bit of difference, maybe. There was a few false start penalties, but not more so than they would have experienced in America. And certainly it was better than playing them at Orchard Park. Jags defense was very good. Pass rush is still probably the weakest element, but they did enough. They absolutely stamped on the run game. There was barely anything. The secondary was mostly good. They picked on Darius Williams a little bit and he responded with a really good interception later on. And the offense is slowly getting better and better. Travis Etienne had a really good day on the ground. Ridley and Kirk caught a lot of balls. Zay Jones left injured. That's a concern. And that's the biggest concern for the Bills, not the loss in this one, I think, but the number of injuries they picked up to really key players throughout the game was a problem. The only disappointing thing from my point of view was the pace of play first half was so slow and fragmented, not just because of injuries, but because of the way they implemented it. And penalties, I don't think, helped either, but they need to work out a way to get these sort of feature games to flow a little bit better for the fan experience, I think.
I think sometimes I've thought this attending games before, like if you're watching on TV, a commercial break, you might just go to the fridge or go to the toilet or something and you come back and it's just there again. In the stadium, when you're sitting there, it feels a bit weird because like sometimes they might play music or there's something on the scoreboard, but it feels a bit like if you're not used to it, it sort of just upsets the flow a bit more than you realise when you watch on TV. I don't know. We talked about last week about the Jags having an advantage being like the road team, but it, you know, having been in London a week more than the Bills. Do you think that was a factor?
It was a worse performance than average of the Bills, right? And they chose to travel out on the Friday. So I guess they were saying, we're not going to change time zones with our bodies. We're just going to get there, do it, and then go home again. Mm. So maybe.
I think the I think that the way that the commissioner discussed it in some fan events in the lead up to the game was basically admitting that it was an experiment to see how having a team staying out here, if a franchise was ever to materialize, how it would be impacting the teams that were traveling to play them, would like, you know, what kind of impact it would have on the team that had traveled. Why you make that the team that's traveling then the designated home team for the game?
This this is the bit that gets me. They could have flipped the two games.
Yeah.
Then the Jags would have been at home for the second week, and that would be a more of a fair home advantage to me.
They discussed it beforehand. The Jags were staying 20 kilometers away from the stadium, and the Bills commute was over 4,500 kilometers. Now I think they shot themselves in the foot by traveling on Thursday. They certainly didn't help themselves, and they apparently listened to sports science that suggested that that was the right thing to do. Clearly, they needed to travel earlier on in the week.
That's good news, because the Titans are traveling on Thursday this week.
It was obvious to me that the offense especially was sluggish. Now that might be because the Jags defense was excellent, and they were, no question about that. They absolutely we couldn't get anything going on offense basically up until halfway through the third quarter, not really even until the fourth quarter. But it did look to me as though there was some kind of impact. I'd be amazed if this is repeated next year, where the home team is a team that's playing someone that's been in London for 2 weeks in a row. I think that they will look at that and say, yeah, that we've completely taken away the home field advantage. Right. Despite the fact that, as Pat said, the stadium was nowhere near as full of the random jerseys that you would normally expect. It was a very, very high percentage of Bills Mafia there, which was great. And it, from an atmosphere perspective, it made the game far better. But performance-wise, I definitely think it had an impact.
So even though it's an experiment, one is a big enough sample size.
I think they've already looked at it and gone, that clearly, you could tell, because it made the game worse. You know, you didn't see the Bills offense that you would normally expect to see. And when you've got a game...
Normally, I'd be sad about that.
I was going to say, it didn't make the game worse for everybody.
But it was when it was 11-7, at whatever stage it was in the third quarter, you're a bit like, you would hope to see more points. And I think that the Bills didn't help themselves, but the home field advantage thing was weird, and I would doubt that will happen again. The bigger concern, I guess, that's come out of it afterwards, as Pat alluded to, is the injuries and the surface that they were playing on, and how when you see the video that's come out after the game of what looks like a fairly thin layer of AstroTurf being put onto some kind of weird car park looking like concrete surface, when that stadium has a grass pitch there.
Nate shared something in our WhatsApp about this, and it was a video, the time-lapse video of them putting this in. Now, that seemed to imply that they've done something different for these games to the previous ones that have been hosted at Tottenham. So,
yes,
I don't really know why that would be.
So there is a talk that the surface that has been laid is the same as they have at Orchard Park.
What? That's, so that's why they did it?
Possibly. I don't know why they did it, but the rumour that I saw on Twitter after the game, when one of our cornerbacks, Taron Johnson, came on afterwards, because Matt Milano's injury is season-ending, and it was basically a direct result of the surface that they were playing on. He twisted on the surface, and his knee, his knees exploded, his ACLs exploded, he's basically broken his leg. It's fucked him to a point where, you don't know what play you're going to get back. It's that bad an injury. And
so if that's the Bills have, this is pure speculation, right? So the Bills have requested that the surface be changed to make it more like Orchard Park?
I from what was, and this is completely, this, you know, this is a very much a floating fact, but what was reported on Twitter was that we didn't request it, but we had the choice of certain types of turf, and the one that we chose was the one that was closest to that there is Orchard Park. Now, what that doesn't suggest is what surface it's laid on top of,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know whether the density of the surface is any different in terms of how thick it is. Because when you saw the video, like I said, it looks like you're laying a carpet on concrete.
Yeah.
And it's odd. It's odd. And it's, as we,
does that mean, no, they're presumably just selfishly looking ahead to the next game, which is in 5 days. They're not going to relay a surface because the Tennessee Titans wanted something different, I assume.
I don't know.
Maybe they are, but
yeah, but, well, possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
I still don't understand why they're not using the standard Tottenham Stadium turf that they put in for the NFL in the first place. It seems utterly bizarre to have a roll-in, roll-out surface that the NFL demanded and paid for as part of the stadium build, and then not use that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
like I said, unless it's something to do with the fact that the Bills requested a different surface to be on, so they can't, you know, they've had
games
about it. They, you know, they, if it is the same turf that they play on at home, and I understand in harsh environments like you get a lot of the time in Buffalo, maintaining grass to a decent standard where you can have a good game on it is fucking difficult. So I understand why turf makes a lot of sense in certain places, especially in domes. It's bloody hard to maintain grass in a dome because you don't get sunlight a lot of the time. You don't, you know, you don't have the same level of precipitation, all that kind of stuff. It makes sense. I get it.
But next week on Gardener's World.
But, you say that, but in Arizona, the stadium there is a grass stadium.
But it's not
the
end of the fucking desert.
The pitch rolls out of the stadium.
Sure.
Same as the new Raiders one, I think it's the same.
Yeah,
but then, yeah, you can't,
water it,
some aren't built to be able to do
right.
that.
Yeah.
So
I get it, but like, yeah, it does feel like the turf argument is getting to a point now where the players are like, they're seeing too many injuries now, like non-contact stuff caused by turf. You look at even Trey White last week, non-contact injury on turf. Is the game getting too fast for the surface that it's being played on now? Something has got to be done. And when you've got players coming out saying, you know, they were talking about the surface during the game about how bad it felt.
The problem is that part of this is it seems to depend on which turf you're using, because Niners players repeatedly complained about the MetLife surface in the year that Bosa tore his ACL on it, and a bunch of other players went down injured that year. I think Solomon Thomas tore his ACL in the same game, and yet we play every season at SoFi, and I've heard not a peep about that surface, and that's a turf surface as well. So presumably there's some difference between which turf surfaces people are playing on and how much, because it's all about how much your cleats stick in the surface, right? And how much they let go.
There are different manufacturers and different names for all this sort of stuff. The field at Indy has a similar reputation. Nate sent something round earlier kind of saying that. We had a Derrick Henry injury a couple of years ago that they kind of blamed the surface. But I don't know if it's like artificial turf fields have been a thing in the NFL for as long as I've been watching it, which is quite a long time, kids. But it's like, it's sort of always been something that people have been aware of. Like, yeah, ideally grass is better. It always has been, but turf fields have got, they've moved on a hell of a long way from like those sort of light green looking things with that just were a carpet on concrete back in the day. And now you have the sand based things that were horrible, and now you've got the things with the rubber pellets that are a bit better, and they kind of feel a bit like grass to run on. And there's different technologies, and they keep like the Titans new field at Nissan Stadium, which they basically put in like they'll tell you that it's better than it's so good it's better than grass, but ultimately they're put in because it's easier to maintain. Like, why else would you have a turf field? But it's supposedly the best kind there is, and there's quite reading around this when they put that in, there are quite a number of different surfaces that exist in the NFL, and obviously it's not cheap to replace them. The idea that there's an existing one at Tottenham Stadium and that the Bills decided to put in a different one, which I guess would have sat on top of it, or do they remove the first one? I don't know. It's just, it staggers me in a way when, by all accounts, the surface was pretty good at Tottenham. I don't know enough about, like, is an artificial turf field something that just sits there under a big covering? Like, how much maintenance do they need? Probably very little, I would think, but maybe some. I don't know.
We'll be interested to hear over the next season or two how the Titans surfaces, because that looks like it's the same surface that they use at SoFi, which is different to the one that was used in this game and at MetLife.
Okay. I haven't seen anything from a Titans perspective about it this week. It may be something that comes up.
But it's been 5 weeks now, so you'd think if players were starting to gripe about it or visiting teams were griping about it, you'd have heard something, and I haven't heard anything.
No, sorry. I meant about the Tottenham Stadium, yeah, sure, with us playing there this week. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of the... It was a Titans beat reporter that posted this thing about the Bills game, obviously for that reason. So, yeah, the NFL will no doubt be cagey about some of these details, I imagine. Hence, we're just speculating, aren't we?
And what's frustrating about it is the fact that the only, like, the thing you get off the back of it from a Bills perspective is where, I mean, the trip ultimately has been a bit of a disaster in terms of the injuries, the timing of it, losing the home game and all that kind of stuff. And the only thing that you get as a result of it is but we're not going to hurry back. And it's been a shit experience going to London when in actual fact, the atmosphere of the game and the occasion was brilliant. And it's because of the injuries that you've been left with, it just leaves that sour taste in the mouth again.
Which is ridiculous, really.
Yeah.
And that's the NFL UK must hate that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you essentially, it's just because they lost, really. Like, I know you don't want a serious injury to anybody. That goes without saying. But if you come out with a win, you'd be very different noises.
I don't know. It's I think the way that you, yes, of course, you win the game and there's a different feel and a different, you know, the journey home is better. But I think it's one of those things like the Jets in week one. You win the game and you think brilliant for an hour. And then by the time you get home, you've realized that you've now lost your three best defensive performers for the season in the space of two quarters consecutive games. And you suddenly think there's a good chance that means that your Super Bowl window for this season is done, because I mean, the defense played their ass off against Jacksonville to keep us in the game. Based on how the offense was performing, AJ Epinesa especially, in the absence of Greg Rousseau, was magnificent in the game. Von Miller only played the first half because he was on a snap count. But defensively, they really kept us in the game, and the offense owes them a beer because they were crap. But like, we've suddenly got to figure out who the fuck our linebackers are, who the fuck our cornerbacks are, because we don't have... Our first round pick from last year, Kyrie Elam, was inactive for the first four games this season because he's basically what appears to be a bust. Troy Waite goes down, and Christian Benford, who was our other corner, was also injured for this game. So Kyrie Elam started, and Trevor Lawrence just picked on him the whole game. He was always 3 or 4 yards off the usually some like Christian Kirk. He was like, he would run like 20 yards down the field, spin, cut back, and Kyrie just didn't follow it. Couldn't get anywhere near it. And it's a massive concern. And I think that you'll learn a lot about the Bills and what their aspirations are for the season, about what they do in the next couple of weeks. Because you can't tell me that going out and getting whatever the bloody hell his name is, that we've brought back into the fold, his name totally escapes me. It'll come to
his
me
name eventually. Doesn't matter.
But it's like old, it's old ridiculous veteran who had retired, mm-hmm. I'm sure. And he, so he's back in. He's not the answer. So do we go trade
Bruce,
for someone?
Bruce Smith?
No, it will come to me. Do we go trade for someone? Because we don't have a linebacker really now. We don't have any corners that are fit. So we're either giving up on it or we have to go get some reinforcements, because at the minute, it's defensively, we're not going to live with teams that we're playing.
That was the other thing that stood out that you don't see as well on TV. The speed that Calvin Ridley changes direction, Jesus Christ, yeah. Just flows off the line and then stops on those little hook routes and the cornerbacks just disappear backwards beyond the field. It's incredible to watch live.
Yeah, and I think, amazing, but I think top-tier corners at least do a better job of staying with it rather than someone like Kyrie Elam, who was just didn't stand a chance. And yeah, it was not good at all.
Just I have a question for you guys. Sorry, Adam.
Go on.
I was going to say, I've been to Wembley a number of times. I've not been to Tottenham. How did you find the fan experience there? Because obviously they've had a few games now.
I enjoyed my Tottenham experience a lot more than my Wembley experience. Queues slower for stuff is the exact opposite of what the issue was. I had a nice kind of sitting area for a bit of red zone after the game to let the queues go down while we sat and had a couple of pints. It was good. Really good sight lines. Maybe that's down to Greg getting nice choice of seats. We were right above one of the end zones, but good.
There's not a bad seat in that stadium.
No, it's an amazing ground.
It's better. It's much better inside the stadium. Arguably, it's worse outside the stadium because it's in Tottenham.
The one thing that I was really noticeable, and is like, and I get the game's long, but fuck me, the amount of fans whilst the game is going on that walk up and down the stands to go and get like a beer or a drink or do whatever you're doing. At times where like you're like a minute to go in the half when the Jags were attacking like within the red zone, you're like
the 2 minute drill, the most exciting part,
the most exciting bit of an NFL game, and they're like. There's like blokes walking down the stairs, like going like wearing something like a fucking Cleveland shirt or something, and you're like,
"Well, that's your problem."
But you've paid a serious amount of money to come and watch a game, and this is literally the most exciting bit of it, and you're buggering off to get like a beer or something. You're like,
"Beat the queues."
But it felt constant, like the whole game. The stairwell was like a motorway.
It was mad.
I turned to Pat on quite a few occasions and said, why are these people not watching the game?
Here's a question. Do you want to be in the middle of the aisle where if every time you need to leave, you want to make everyone else move? Or do you want to be on the end where people are constantly asking you to move?
Well, I mean, that happens.
We were literally the three seats next to the aisle, which is perhaps why it was in our eye line so much.
Yeah.
It's Josh Norman. Josh Norman, by the way, is the cornerback we picked up.
Oh, that's so good, because I was just about to jokingly ask if you were looking at Josh Norman.
Yeah, that is who we've got. He's joined the practice squad.
He's terrible. He was terrible 2 years ago when he was at the Niners. Couldn't cover then.
Well, and the Bills.
He was good back in his... Was it Panthers, his first team? He was good back then, but I don't think he's been good since.
Yeah. Josh Norman is not since practice.
Not since Derek Henry stiff-armed him into oblivion.
If only you're a week early, you're like J.C. Jackson.
You can have Christian Fulton if you like.
There's a lot of talk about potential trade partners now. There's the rumor mill is turning that we're after Patrick Surtain at the Broncos because
everyone's after him. After him because they're so terrible, and everyone's like, we could get, because all the Niners fans are like, with Javaris Ward going down with a knock at the moment, they're like, oh my god, we've got no good corners. Quick, go and get Surtain, because we cleared a load of cap space with that nonsense extending contracts into void years where you can then punt loads of money into the future. And so everyone was like, go and get him. It's like, but you know, it's still going to cost you draft capital, and they're going to ask a lot for him.
Likely two first rounders, I would think.
Well, particularly as more and more teams have injury issues, and you've got a lot of competition for him.
Yeah. So, it's I don't know. We'll see. I think the Bills are going to have to dip into free agency because their linebacker core at the minute is a joke.
One of the, just swinging back to the main premise of this, the feature of the show, filling Adam in. Now, I'm
every
looking
time you
at,
say it, it sounds worse.
We're now in week. Good, good.
You can, by the way, can just to make sure you are going to use the jingle from Craig David. Can you feel me in when you do this? Because if you don't it. Now, if you I've don't now, it's going to be a really disappointing feature.
I think you know by now. It's purely you're down gonna... to how much editing I'm prepared to do.
I think you've got to get in that and finish the segment. And can you feel me in? Can you feel me in?
No, end, Adam, just grab that bit of Mark singing it and then use that instead.
I mean, you'll find out later whether I've done any of that or not, won't you?
I know where my money is.
Yeah. I'm looking at some strange scores again. Now we've had this was week 5 in the NFL. And after 4 weeks, you kind of start to draw conclusions about where teams are at. And then I still look at a couple of crazy, crazy score lines. The Falcons jet-lagged from London, turning over the Texans I did not see coming. Now, maybe I'd read a bit too much in how CJ Stroud was looking, possibly.
Don't worry about the fact that they weren't good in this game.
Right.
I mean, I'm not worried about it.
No, but they were, I mean, you know, they had a few more field goals, but they still weren't very, like, didn't play well.
Oh, Stroud wasn't the problem in this one. There were other bits of the Texans' play that caused the problems rather than him. He was fine, just not as effective as he's been previously. Yeah, I don't
too
think
many,
he turned
too many
the ball
field
over.
Goals in good positions.
Yeah.
Like too many drives breaking down.
I mean, I can relate to that.
He looked more like a rookie, but still a good rookie.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Yeah, yeah. The Ravens losing to Pittsburgh.
This was a shock.
So this was a game where the Ravens they could have comfortably put up 40 points in this game. They just seemed, it was a, you remember talking about the games where the Giants had the whatever could go wrong, did go wrong games early in the season?
Yeah, yeah.
This was it for the Ravens. But it's one of those derby games where, you know, the weird stuff happens in Ravens-Steelers games. And it was one of those. They should have been out of sight. The Steelers did not deserve this win. They didn't do enough to win a game of football. They just had it handed to them.
Yeah. The Ravens turned over twice in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if they could have saved that for next week. That's game for Baltimore. But
the Ravens do really seem to be a one good week, one crap week team at the moment, yeah. Don't they? And they just can't, like, as I'll probably allude to in my one sentence preview, like incredibly inconsistent. And I included Lamar Jackson in that. He had a couple of really like interesting good runs, some really good throws in this, but some of his play was dire.
You say bad and good week to week. It's almost bad and good week to, drive to drive. Yeah. Like they'll have three drives in a row where they're looking absolutely amazing. And then three drives in a row where they can't do anything. And then, you know, you've only put up 9 points because it's all been field goals.
It says everything you need to know about how the Ravens didn't win this game. When I think it was after three possessions, the Steelers fans were booing them.
Right.
Yes.
They were that bad and yet won.
That's quite something against in a divisional game against decent opposition. But
yeah, I do wonder how much the J.K. Dobbins thing has affected, because they just don't seem to have found another back who can really do that like job, and it's sort of pushing all that rushing stuff back onto Lamar, but Lamar's not been that effective with his running either. And so
he looks slower, bizarrely. But there were a couple of runs in here where he did look a notch slower than he was in like his MVP season, where he looked in like you couldn't touch him.
He had that breakaway run, didn't he? Like, yeah. Was it like 20 odd yard run where I was like, oh, he's going to be gone here. Yeah, and then he just got dragged down.
Yeah. Did look noticeably slower.
Anyway, this is a reverse effect of the London jet lag thing. Like the Bills looking a bit woeful flying in on the Thursday night. Could the Ravens have had one eye on the Monday flight out of the States to get to London? Just a thought.
I don't think so. I think you, like, yeah, I don't think
I
you
know,
play
it's the, I know it's the wrong way around, but like in your head, if you're preparing for something like that,
I don't think so. I don't think you ever look past a divisional matchup like this.
No.
They're not even thinking about it until the game's over.
Yeah.
I wrote down when those boos happened because it riled me up. So the Ravens punted, the Steelers punted, the Ravens scored a touchdown, and the Steelers fans booed on 3rd and 6 after a 2-yard Najee Harris run. And then they went 3 and out and punted. But still, like, have some patience for fuck's sake.
I think they're so sick of Matt Canada there, though, aren't they? Like, I don't know. Yes. There's not a single fan that wants him in that job. And is there not rumour that they won the game, that the scoring drive was them ordered, like the guy Pickett changed out of a play that had come in from Canada because he didn't think it was going to work?
I did see a clip of them celebrating and Boswell saying, well, it wasn't because of you, to Canada, as he walked past him back to the locker room, which is not a good sign when you're getting heckled by your kicker.
It's certainly a worrying time when you are thinking fondly about the memories of Greg Roman running your offense.
But it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. As long as he's tight with Tomlin, he's in. Tomlin's the only one who matters.
Yeah.
This is... Yeah, I have some parallels here. The Bengals won, well, the face of it, pretty convincingly in Arizona, which we expected them to. I would like to be filled in on if they're looking better again or if this is just poor opposition.
So the one big thing was that Joe Burrow actually looked like... He'd come out and talked to reporters before the game who then relayed that he seemed much more confident than he had been in previous games about his leg, where he was like, yeah, I'm completely healed now. And he actually looked like, you know, there were moments where he had to scramble for like 8 yards or 12 yards. And he looks like the old version of himself where he wasn't having any issue. Like he wasn't thinking twice about going for those. So I do think there's a knock-on effect on the rest of the roster when your QB is like, yeah, I'm actually fully back and fit. But the Cardinals had the game that we expected them to, you know, have many times this season. They weren't a good opposition.
But having said that, they were still leading in the third quarter.
Yeah, they weren't terrible.
Yeah. they more than put up a fight in this game. Jamar Chase had one of those games where he was incredible and caught 3 touchdowns. And that connection looked like it was like backfiring again. But it wasn't like the Bengals blew them away.
You can tell it was more the Bengals being good than the Cards being bad because Trent and Irwin had 8 receptions for 60 yards.
Well, the Cardinals do look like one of those teams this year that could do a bit of an elegant tank where they put up a big fight and still just about lose late on.
An elegant tank. I like the idea of an elegant tank.
Josh Dobbs is a man for an elegant tank.
Yeah.
He is absolutely, absolutely perfect for the job.
They've lost James Conner, which helps the tank as well, because he'd been playing really well.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's like a potentially 4 weeks on IR injury, isn't it, from what I've seen?
Yeah, 4 to 6, so I read earlier.
Yeah, and their backup running back hasn't even suited up for a game this season because he's had a neck injury, so they're down to some random rookie.
He looked quite decent, though, Demarcado. Yeah, that was all right.
Thought he looked okay, but I mean, he's a completely unknown quantity at this point.
Which is still better than Najee Harris.
Poor Najee. Can we talk about the Patriots?
I'm not sure that told me anything I didn't know, looking at the scoreline.
They're so bad. It's hilarious how awful they are. And this has got to be... If they were to turn it around now and do like a Bill Belichick, get to 8 or 9 wins... It would be the best coaching job that any NFL head coach has ever done.
Is he going to get fired? Is that going to happen?
I think there's a very good chance he does. Like, he clearly doesn't get on that well with Kraft anyway. There's been a lot of issues between him, Kraft, and whichever quarterback they have had in at whatever point has been there. There was all that rumor that Belichick wanted to move on from Brady in their final year, that Brady was still there, and but Kraft is more of a fan of Brady and that he's pissed off that Brady left because of and all of that stuff that's gone on. Mac Jones is clearly shite. And and at the end of the day, when you're in the position that Belichick is in, he's the one who built this roster. This is his team. And it's like, it's so lacking in any sort of talent. There's not a huge amount he can do about it, but this is like, they're awful. They are awful. They didn't score in their own stadium, man.
I do think it'll be partly down to, it would have to be a fallout with the ownership, because I think Belichick has so much kudos with the fans that the fans won't turn on him yet.
No,
they might if it's another couple of seasons, but you know, I also wonder whether there's an element of Belichick's just tanking to, you know, get a better draft pick for next year. But maybe they are awful.
Why is he still there? Why is he bothering?
Because he wants to prove he can do it without Brady.
Well, it's not working.
The bigger problem in New England, Mac Jones is rubbish, but his O-line is even worse. They cannot protect him. He's getting zero time to throw, and he's a guy who needs to be in structure and in rhythm, and he's just getting smashed every single week.
Not in a drunk one.
I mean, he might be doing that as well. Who knows?
Imagine if the end of Belichick's entire career is him getting fired. Who could have possibly foreseen that? Like, it's staggering that that might actually happen. And he's not going to go anywhere else, is he?
No, that would be crazy. I mean, the positive thing for Pats fans is they at least had the decency to wait until their fifth drive before breaking out the "We Want Zappy" chants. They were 21-0 down at that point, so you can kind of forgive it.
Zappy's a great name.
I'd actually be onto them for not coming out with that earlier, if I'm honest. Like week two.
But everyone in the NFL loves the fact that this is happening, right? It's just brilliant. We've been talking about this is going to happen for like 10 years, and thank God we're finally here.
But Mark, wouldn't you rather have him continue to stick around for another couple of seasons of failure drag it out rather than clear house and maybe have someone come in and be successful?
Oh, absolutely. The more that he can tarnish this, you know, I don't care who you put in there, it's Bill Belichick, like, thing that has clearly been shown now to be bullshit. I think the longer he stays and ruins the roster and like makes that team crap, jolly good. And frankly, they are owed a period of absolute mediocrity and wilderness of just being a nothing team. They've been too good for too long, and this is their time to be shit.
Anyway. Do you think there's a chance he stays on as a good coach and relinquishes some of the GM responsibilities and lets the roster building get handled a bit more by someone else?
That's what he should have done, but I think it's a bit late.
Is he not too old for all that now?
And kind of the ones who consolidate the power, people are too stubborn and proud to give it up.
I think Kraft will want a new, young, exciting head coach that's going to be a little bit offensive-minded and just to try and bring some of the excitement back.
Josh McDaniels.
Well, it could well be. Yeah, maybe. It could well be that Kraft thinks if the season goes really badly, that Kraft is like, you know what, let's go get Caleb Williams, let's go get a new head coach, and let's just like trash it all down and start again.
Yeah, and if you think that Josh McDaniels
ticks the... Go get the Pittsburgh coordinator, that would be a good hire.
Oh, he's a good shout, yeah.
If you think Josh McDaniels comes in under the exciting thing, you've not watched the Vegas Raiders offense this year.
I mean, my tongue may have been in my cheek, Rich.
I mean, it would be interesting to see whether Kraft would want to bring him back, given that he's got those ties there. But yeah, I think you just clear, you know, complete scorched earth and start again. But even then, that's probably another 2 or 3 years, even if you bring in a really, really good GM head coach setup. I think Belichick is probably one of those people who will never want to not work. Like, he's one of those people that will like do it until he's like 95 and then he'd just be keel over and die one day.
Like, I'm not just saying this because you're here. He'd be like Roy Hodgson. Like, he retires
and dies.
His wife realizes she doesn't really want him around the house.
Right.
Like, Roy, don't you fancy a game of golf?
Go out to work.
No, not really. Well, no, I don't play golf. No. Don't you want to go and beer with your mates?
Don't you want to manage Crystal Palace?
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Oh, that sounds like a nice hobby.
I actually think, bizarrely, I think that if Belichick moves into the booth, like, as he's proven when he's done some stuff on NFL Network, I think he might be all right. He's a lot more, he's obviously very knowledgeable of the game, and he's a lot more interesting and personable when you're hearing him in a non-New England Patriots setting. He's done a lot of stuff in kind of like the top 100s, where actually he's been quite engaging. And I wonder if that's more the route that he goes down. He might just fuck it and go and fish for the rest of his life.
He's too old even for that now, isn't he?
I don't think so. Look at some of the people they've got on ESPN. Christ, they're still wheeling out people like Bill Cowher.
I would love to see Bill in the booth dealing with some of the gobshites who don't actually know anything and are all bullshit.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
It'd be like Roy Keane. Roy Keane. It'd be amazing.
That's his job. For that. That's his job, man. He's meant to catch the ball.
He'd either be like that, or he'd be apathetic again. And like someone would ask him for his opinion, like, "Oh, how do you think the Texans pass rush is looking?"
Okay,
it's just their job. Yeah, doesn't matter who they play next. On to Cincinnati, whatever.
Do you think that's the only time Roy Keane has ever been compared to Bill Belichick?
Maybe.
I'd imagine it's possibly not the first time it's happened on this podcast. We've just forgotten about it.
That's also true. Fill me in on anything else I've missed. I don't know. You nearly segued into the Raiders on Monday night, which probably...
Both those teams
feels a bit, don't really care in a way.
McDaniel's game scheme makes my eyes bleed. They looked into a win against a really crap Green Bay side, but...
I would see more from the Packers, and Love looked all right week one, but we haven't really seen much since.
He looked like the Jordan Love we'd seen filling in for Aaron Rodgers rather than the Jordan Love from like the start of the season in this game. He was dreadful.
Yeah, and the patience narrative's wearing thin with me, because like he had all that time sitting behind Rodgers, and now he's starting and he doesn't look better than Stroud or Richardson. So what did all the sitting do?
He wasn't picked as high either, but does that matter after this amount of time? Probably not.
I think they just didn't have any other options. I mean, they didn't have a high enough draft pick to go after someone, and they, you know, who's hit free agency that you'd really want to plug in Green Bay? I think they hoped that he might have a high ceiling and he'd hit that, or that he's got a shit floor, and if he hits that, then they can just go and get someone in the next draft.
Yeah, and they can't be surrounded him with like top tier talent to help. It's all very young, hoping that it'll become top tier talent in the next few years, I suppose.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan. Here's what you could have had in Davante Adams. Enjoy watching him on the other side of the pitch.
When they target him twice.
Yeah. Well, didn't he go out injured as well? I think he had an injury partway through the game, went out and came back in.
Ah.
Something like that.
Blame the turf.
Anyway. can we briefly laugh at the Cowboys? I really want to laugh at the Cowboys.
Oh, I was just going to go there. I was trying to get the clock up and to give you a specified amount of time on this, but
a minute.
I can't work out where that clock is. having figured out how to let
I don't want or need that much time. I just really like enjoy the two things that I did enjoy a lot was George Kittle's Fuck Dallas t-shirt that he picked up. And then annoying Micah Parsons, who clearly didn't understand the reference and was like, oh, he's made it personal now, when there's been loads of jibing backwards and forwards over the last couple of seasons where it's clearly already become personal. And then Debo today being like, because Micah Parsons was like, wait till we see them next time. They'll be sorry when they see us next time. And Debo earlier today just went, they don't want to see us next time.
We'd love to play you every week, lads.
Yeah, exactly that kind of response.
The 49ers are ridiculous.
We look all right. I'm still waiting for it to fall apart or for the injuries to kick in.
It's mental. I like.
When are you playing at MetLife or are you playing at?
God, Tom, please don't say that.
It's like unstoppable at the moment. I just can't see any team in either conference who's even anywhere near as good as they are.
Yeah, my concern is that we're this good at the start of the season, because we've seen this before with teams where they absolutely pummel people for the first half of the season and then things start to get a little bit rocky afterwards.
We're too good at the start of the season.
I'm enjoying it while it lasts, given that the last couple of years it's been a very slow start.
This reminds me of the Panthers run where they went to the Super Bowl that season where they just didn't look like they were ever going to lose a game. And I think they only lost one or two regular season games that season. And the 49ers remind me of that. I just can't see anybody getting near them.
I stayed up to watch this one, thinking it would be a really close, like, exciting encounter between two really good offenses, and was kind of half right. But
well, I really wish I'd been able to stay up for it, but my brother and his family were staying with me, and I hadn't realised that it was Sunday Night Football until well after I'd agreed to it. So obviously having, you know, kids around who want to go and do stuff in Bristol on the Monday was not compatible with staying up till 5 a.m.
Yeah. You inconsiderate, friendly arseholes.
It's not like you've got a job, Rich.
That's a good point.
The thing that does force me to get out of bed if I've got to go and, you know, show them around Bristol.
He did have to do some gigoloing at some stage.
I did enjoy that discussion, by the way.
Which is it, by the way?
Oh, I'm not confirming or denying anything.
Okay, good.
So both, right.
It was a classic Dak performance where he gets behind and then just wangs it anywhere and concedes a load of turnovers and can't drag a team back into the game. And as we saw last year with some of the comebacks, that's less likely to work than trusting your game plan and sticking with it and fighting your way through. But I don't think either would have worked against that 49ers side. They were just too good. You can't catch them up if you get behind.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Micah Parsons' stats of one tackle.
I thought that was a follow-up.
After all of the build-up of like, oh, Micah Parsons versus, you know, he's gonna pick on that right-hand side of the Niners line and he'll be, you know, in Purdy's face all day long. And Purdy just had time and just was... He's not a flashy quarterback. He just looks composed.
Putting that clock on my screen worked well, didn't it? Did you see it?
Yeah, briefly.
It's just a lack of respect, isn't it?
It's a total lack of respect. Yeah. Also, when I put that clock on the screen, because on my own like little Zoom window, I'm a mirror image of myself, as I'm sure you all are, it reverses the clock. So I'm looking at it, the clock's back to front.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Very helpful.
Again, this is really good for listeners to hear. We could... All these other podcasts stick themselves out on YouTube now. Have you seen? Like, and there'll be like on Twitter and you can watch a podcast live and then if you ever click on one and they've got like three people watching, that's my fear. That's why we should...
it would be Russ and that's it.
In the comments, just calling us pricks.
Yeah. Definitely. Because Craig wouldn't watch. Speaking of Craig, can we quickly touch on if the Jets are still shit?
Well, they I mean, they did win, but
they won. But my God, they were still shit. I think the answer to that question this week is yes, but the Broncos are shitter.
Ooh, yeah, that is an interesting one. The Pats and the Broncos. I don't know if they play each other this season, but that could be the worst game ever.
But the Pats and the Giants do play each other in a couple of weeks.
Amazing! That's wonderful. Imagine if Bill Belichick loses to Daniel Jones, he'll be furious.
I can tell you, because the AFC South play all of the AFC North this year, that the AFC West will play the AFC East. So, yes, the Pats and the Broncos will play at some point.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wonderful. It's probably prime time.
It's definitely a Thursday night football game, isn't it?
I mean, a more professional host would find out at this point, but I'm not going to do that.
Fantastic. Yeah, the Broncos are terrible now. They look like they've given up already.
Actually, haven't they already played?
They play. This is good. They play. They play on Christmas Day.
Oh, fantastic!
And I think it is Monday Night Football. Excellent. It's either Monday Night Football or Sunday. It's definitely prime time.
Excellent. That's perfect.
New England at Denver.
Christmas Day. They probably can't flex it either.
It's 1 a.m. on Christmas morning.
You get the festive mood, mince pies, get your stockings out.
It's just what you need, isn't it? Watch that shit.
At least there's a good reason to go to bed at a reasonable time on the night before Christmas.
Yeah, that's quite a thing. Well done.
Oof.
Should we do some one sentence previews?
Yes.
I always ask that rhetorically. but sometimes someone will say, oh no, we haven't discussed this, but we've discussed more than enough. I'm well and truly filled in. So week six. Week six starts with the Broncos. Great. Denver at Kansas City.
Another Chiefs cakewalk. How exciting.
Baltimore versus Tennessee at Tottenham.
Two teams rocked by inconsistency do battle on the car park pitch at Tottenham.
Which may be a proper pitch. We just don't know. We're wildly speculating. Washington at Atlanta.
Football team have conceded at least 33 points in their last 4 weeks and lost their last three. Only one of those streaks ends this week.
Minnesota at Chicago. Genuinely intriguing game at the start of the year, but two massively flawed, but a little bit fun to watch teams. All the hallmarks of some witching hour madness coming up with this one. Seattle at Cincinnati.
If the Bengals continue their progression from last week, this game should be really good.
San Francisco at Cleveland.
49ers go 6-0.
New Orleans at Houston.
This seems like an oddly competitive matchup if Stroud can continue the impressive start to his rookie season.
Indianapolis at Jacksonville. It's the Gardner Minshew revenge game we've all been waiting for, and he's more than capable. They'll lose. Carolina at Miami.
The schedule just keeps pouring woe on Carolina, huh?
I mean, I can only blame the schedule for so long. New England at Las Vegas.
Mac Jones on borrowed time in a match that very few people will care about, other than to see if the Pats can score more than a field goal this week.
Detroit at Tampa Bay.
This could be a fun shootout, but that will probably mean that Baker will start throwing picks sometime late in the third quarter.
Arizona at LA Rams. Another two flawed teams, but another game that seems appealing and hard to predict, but I'm predicting a Rams win anyway. Philadelphia at New York Jets.
The Eagles continue to put up unspectacular wins in which they overwhelm people without looking particularly impressive somehow. This will continue against the Jets.
Yeah. New York Giants at Buffalo.
It's going to get really bad for the reigning head coach of the year on his return to Buffalo.
And finally, Dallas at LA Chargers.
Chargers coming off a bye and the Cowboys coming off a pasting in Santa Clara. Predicting more pain for America's team on the road.
Yes, please.
There we go. That's cool.
Why do the Cowboys keep getting... Well, I know why they keep getting it, but it's ludicrous how many fucking primetime games that team gets.
They're America's team, mate. America loves them. So or just... Is it just... Like, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you hate them, right? And that's across the world.
I think
seems
so.
To be.
So I don't know if it's just maximum audience because people want to see bad things happen to them. Like it's I almost think it's maximize the audience of the chance that the Cowboys might embarrass themselves than maximize the audience of Cowboys fans.
It's like, Texas. Texas loves its football. Everyone will tune in. We know we're going to get a massive audience for that game.
Like, I don't mind this one. At least it's someone. It's whether it's always like the Cowboys Giants every single time they play. It'll be Sunday night.
But what I don't get is how, like when the schedule was done, you had Eagles Jets, and that was going to be Eagles versus Rodgers. When the scheduling was done, why is that not picked over the Cowboys Chargers? It doesn't make any sense.
They don't put obviously don't put. You can't have a team primetime every week. I suspect if we check, they're not quite. But let's not check and assume they are. 18 primetime games a season. It's ludicrous.
Disgrace.
Well, they were last week. Week four. Can't remember.
This is great content. Yeah.
So basically, I've looked back in the last 2 weeks and they're prime time in both. So they are every
So
week.
Yeah, that's a big enough sample size for me. Yeah. Just
extrapolate that out forever.
Every week, done.
Even in the off season.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's April the 8th. Oh, the Cowboys are on again tonight. Who are they playing? Oh, the Giants. Great.
Just what everyone wants to watch.
That's how long it takes the Giants to keep playing to get enough wins to make a postseason.
Any other business? How about some of that? I've probably forgotten something, but it can't be that important. Let's have a chat about other stuff. Pat, what's going on?
I saw a tweet from fellow Stevenage fan Rob Warren, who I don't think listens to the show, which he's never mentioned anyway. He's a Green Bay Packers fan as well. And he mentioned...
Oh, Bunny. I know him. Yeah. Yeah. Good old Bunny.
He mentioned the NFL Europe shop not delivering shit. And that reminded me that I ordered from them on the 8th of September. And they said, oh, yeah, 26th of September, that'll be with you. Processing. Whatever processing means we haven't done it yet. We'll maybe do it next month. It's like, yeah, well, thanks for taking my money and then doing literally none of your job for a month. Yeah. I don't know how common that experience has been recently, but it's not been good this year.
Well, I can tell you, I ordered my Oilers throwback jersey from Fanatics. It's the same thing. They've rebadged it, you fool. It's the same company. I ordered that on July the 25th and it got delivered yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Just in time for the London games. That's at least they've managed that.
Yeah. Well, I chased them. And I think if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't get it. But then I almost had the impression it was just sitting there until I chased.
Imagine that. It's just sat there. Go, should we send that out? Nah.
I do wonder.
Why is that on your desk still? Just can't be bothered.
Well, I was relieved. I was relieved that the numbers were the right way up and stuff. Because
correct numbers. Yeah. What jersey did you get?
It's a Henry, so he'll be getting traded next week.
Oh no! I saw AJ Brown jersey at Tottenham and was like, "Oh, you poor bastard!"
Why would you wear that in public?
Well, I did wonder.
Maybe it's his only jersey.
Buy another one. In fact, if you're listening,
he's probably waiting for it to be delivered.
Yeah, maybe.
From 3 years ago.
It was sat there underneath this weird throwback Oilers jersey.
Ironically, he ordered a Christian Fulton jersey full of hope when they drafted him.
Oh. But I've never had a Derrick Henry jersey, somewhat ridiculously. My son has had about 17 because that's his name and he loves it. But I've never had one.
Adam, maybe the man with the AJ Brown jersey ordered it from Fanatics and it only arrived this week, so he had to wear it.
I did it once.
Yeah, maybe. I have an AJ Brown Titans jersey. I haven't worn it recently, but I do have one. I got it for free, so I can't be too mad because I was... a fan on the COVID draft where the Titans did that, if you recall, and they sent me a jersey for my trouble, which was more trouble than you might think, having to do like rehearsals of a Zoom call and getting all excited and then turning up for the actual Zoom call and getting really, 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 really excited, having to make a lot of noise at 4 a.m. that we just drafted Darrington Evans in the third round.
As an update, because I think NFL Europe have got my house booked. They've just sent me an email saying my order's been shipped. I got the notification.
Oh, wow.
While we were complaining about
This is how live we are. They're obviously watching us on YouTube.
I mean, that's absolutely mental.
We didn't know we had a YouTube channel, but it set itself up on Adam's computer and now we do.
Yeah. I mean, how else would they have?
Google AI, man.
Yeah.
Dispatched Tuesday, 10th of October at 20 to 5 in the evening. I mean, that's frightening.
Just in time for your Wembley experience.
Yeah.
20 to 5 central time, because it's presumably shipped from America, because that's what they seem to do. So it'll be about another 10 days and then you'll get it.
We'll see.
Where are we? Rich, any other business?
Not a lot, but I know you guys and other listeners have kids who are in that sort of preteenish age. When my brother and his tribe were here, we ended up playing a game called King of New York, which is where you all get to be rampaging monsters, smashing up New York and each other, and the kids loved it. So if your kids like board games in any way, shape or form, go and find it and see if they like it.
Okay. Not heard of that one.
I will.
I do like a board game.
Yeah, it's good fun. Makes people very angry, which is always entertaining. When
it's always good.
Mark, any other business?
Nothing major other than thanks to Pat for his wonderful company on Sunday. The result was terrible from a Bills perspective, but his company made the experience worthwhile anyway. And I believe it's World Mental Health Day today. Either World or anyway, it's a lot. And both my kids had to charge off to school wearing something yellow. And I spotted something on
that must have depressed them.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not making light of this. Well, I literally just did, but I didn't mean it.
And it was just that I saw something on Instagram and Twitter earlier on. I'm still calling it Twitter, by the way. I'm not caving.
That's his name. That's literally still in the URL.
Good. From Norwich City, that was really good. And if you haven't watched it, I would urge you to go and watch it. It's basically something, because obviously they wear yellow, so they felt that it was like a worthwhile thing to do on their behalf. And it's basically like a video of two guys, one who's life and soul of the party and another one who looks very much not the life and soul of the party, at watching football, watching Norwich in Norwich's kits and their reactions from various things that are going on. The camera's just on those two. And it's well worth going to have a look at it, as the message is that it's not always easy to spot when someone's going through a bad time, and basically just to kind of check in on your mates and make sure they're okay. And I think that's quite an important message. So go and have a look at the Norwich City Twitter or Instagram feed. Go find it, watch the video, and just make sure your mates are all doing good.
Agreed. Remember to call them a prick from time to time.
Absolutely.
That always helps. They probably are.
Yeah.
I know I am. I don't know if I've got any other business, really. Look.
Yeah. You look tired. You look tired, mate. You're right.
I'm all right. I am tired.
give us a review of your Travelodge experience.
Did you take a purposefully big plate?
but it was actually a Holiday Inn, but it's a travel tavern experience, isn't it? But I did have a conversation with some fellow Partridge lovers about the hotel breakfast. Why is the glass that you put your orange juice in always so tiny?
It's mad, absolutely
so annoying.
But the conversation then extended in the big plate vein of turning up for breakfast with your stein.
Perfect.
Killing a stein with orange juice.
You got your big glass, Alan.
Just empty the tank. Just empty the tank of orange juice and leave the next person behind you fuming.
But I don't know about you, but I will always go and get myself one of those little glasses, fill it,
neck it,
drink it, and then fill it again.
Yeah. Yes. Every time.
Yeah.
Especially when, like, more often than not, if you're staying in one of those hotels, you've like maybe been on a night out, so you're a little bit hungover and you really need a big glass of orange juice. And like the fact that you've got a thimble is just really annoying.
Things I need: grease, rehydration, not to have to move.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll have the big coffee cups that you can pour yourself a load of coffee into, and I'll grab one of those and use that for orange juice instead. And they sort of look at you funny when you do.
That's a good hack.
That is actually.
Life hack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good look drinking orange juice out of a coffee mug, but I see where you're coming from.
Totally wasteful, but I don't give a shit. If I'm hungover in a hotel like that, I just want to sit and eat my stodge with a lot of orange juice.
Just put your head under the tap.
I might go whole hog and do a cereal bowl of orange juice next time.
It's just going to be messy.
What's the largest container you can find that's empty on that whole buffet array?
Just rip the bath out your room, come down with that.
There we go. Just pick the orange juice thing up and take it back to your table.
Yeah. No, you can't have too much orange juice. There we go. I think we've peaked. This is our nadir. Orange juice in a buffet breakfast. Also, by the way, any hotel that just leaves like a bottle of ketchup on a table or on the side at a breakfast where you're making your fry up and you want ketchup or HP sauce or whatever, that instead of little sachets, that gets you another 3 stars on your review. Just that. Nothing else. Barely anything else matters.
And you were doing it with a giant bowl of ketchup with the spoon submerged to like the top half a centimetre.
Oh, God.
That is not the way. It's not the way.
I don't want anything in there. I don't want pre-sneezed in ketchup.
Oh, if you're still listening.
God love you.
We're not sorry, though.
Let's get out of here. Lovely to chat as ever.
Cheers, boys.
Love you.
Oh, well. Me and her parents were kind of cool, but they were the fine line between me and you. We were just doing things and people in our two parents trying to find out what we were saying. Why were you creeping around late last? Why did I see two shadows moving in your bedroom? Now you're dressed in black, when I left you were dressed in white.
I'd like to think that we could, every so often, we could be even more Partridge.
I really wanted to ask you, so how was Acton? Was there a few too many...